The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's April 17th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing. He's in Normal, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Well, in agricultural news for the day, reports from Washington suggest a new WTO proposal will soon be on the table. USDA is asking the Department of Commerce for a little help with soybeans. And Canada has confirmed its fifth case of BSE, bovine spongiform encephalopathy. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in this half hour. We'll also hear today about last week's ethanol and biofuels conference. It was held here on the U of I campus. And don't forget, at the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Monday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this in the wheat pit. Soft red winter wheat may contract to 349.5 settlement price, down 8 cents today. July futures at 362.5 were down 8 and 3 quarters. From Kansas City, the hard red winter wheats finished the May at 437 and 3 quarters, down 18 and 3 quarters for the day. Back in Chicago, the corn pit up a quarter of a cent for the nearby May contract to 236.5. July futures 248.25, they were down a quarter. September's at 258, up a half. And December contract at 269.25, up 3/4 for the day. Soy complex now, bean futures, May contract 571.5, up 8.5. July futures at 585.5, up 8. And the August contract at 591.25, up 8.75. November beans, the harvest month, at $6.04.5 a bushel, up 8.25. Bean meal futures 177.50 at 410 higher. May bean oil at 22.70. That was up 14 on the day. From the Mercantile Exchange, feeder cattle, April contract, $103.22.5 a hundredweight. They were up a dollar and a nickel. Live cattle April contract at $82.60, up 72.5 cents. And the April lean hog settled at $53.85 today. They were up 37.5 on the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I trust you had a good Easter weekend.
Oh, man, it was a good ham, good visits. It was one of the better Easters, I think, other than the storms.
Well, the storms did come through. They dropped a lot of rain, and that seems to have had an impact in Chicago, at least in Chicago and Kansas City, in part on the wheat. Am I correct in that assumption?
It depends who you talk to, but, as far as the rain out west, there was none. 100 degrees and 60-mile-an-hour winds, some tremendous dust storms, per se, but it is the forecast of rain in two ways. One is the 6 to 10-day shows warm but wet conditions for the southern plains. But on the flip side, it shows the spring wheat regions warm and dry, so the fundamental forecast was enough to slip us below the well-followed 6 to 7 day moving averages that the funds have been following here on the short-term scale sector to generate some fairly active sell stops to push us back into the chart gap we left a week ago today, Todd.
And down they went, down 18 and 3 quarters in the May contract in Kansas City, and the May futures in Chicago following suit off 8 cents at 349.5 for the day.
Yeah, basically, we'll see if we can follow through or not. The technicians will look for support in this chart gap. And plus, too, if you look at today's lows, for the trend followers, we are at the 10 to 11-day moving average, which should hopefully find support. But you got to remember, the funds are huge shorts in the Kansas City wheat, over 44,000 contracts, or long, that is. And the market's not going to be able to absorb a huge amount of selling like we saw today. The volume was not that heavy. In Chicago, they probably sold upwards towards 2,000 to 3,000 contracts, and probably about 4,000 to 5,000 contracts in Kansas City.
For our listeners, last week we had heard from several of our technicians that it appeared to them the beans might be ready for a rally at this point, and up 8.5 cents, in part, I suppose, on the NOPA and the Good Crush report from this morning.
That's sort of the fundamental cows give us some reason to move higher, but I think the main thing that gave the beans support was I can't say all, but most of the late winter here, we've seen them buy wheat and sell beans on a spread, buy wheat, sell corn on the spread. I think that spread unwinding was very evident here today as they moved around to help support the beans. But probably the primary factor was that gold was up sharply overnight trade, crude oil sharply up overnight trade, and they held those gains. Gold closed over $18 an ounce higher, crude over $1 a barrel, silver up over 50 cents, copper over 795 points. So I think that gave the market players some confidence to come in and buy the beans. Of course, we did sort of break some trend lines to put us in a position to see a sort of so-called dead cat bounce.
A bit of a balancing act, then. Would you think that there'll be enough follow-through on the unwind in Kansas City to continue things to moving higher, or will it just simply be drug higher as if the gold and the silver and the outside markets continue to march upward?
Well, there could be maybe another dime in the beans from here, per se, but we're going to have to see some fundamental shifts to move much higher than that. Exports inspections, where we shipped out 11 million bushels. The trade was looking for 10 to 15. I mean, we're going to have to see more aggressive sales. We're going to have to see more reports of lower yields in the southern hemisphere in order to go much higher. On the other side, though, the outside markets, if gold would run on up to this $650, $700 an ounce and crude oil up to $80 a barrel, that might be enough to say, hey, there's more in to the upside.
As we move into the corn, let's turn your attention very quickly to the crop progress reports. Expectations by the trade for this afternoon's reports?
Well, our best estimate in doing our surveys and check off other analysts and so forth, the corn planting progress is probably going to be in this 14 to 17% complete as a nation. Even though the rains were fairly scattered, I know here through the central belt, anywhere from a half to 6 inches. That there are planters running, in, especially south and southwest of us. So we'll see what the planting progress shows here this afternoon. I wouldn't be surprised to see it in between those two benchmarks.
I was across a good portion of the central part of the state yesterday in Peoria, where it rained heavily in the early afternoon, maybe 2:30, 3 o'clock, and then down towards Springfield later in the afternoon, and they didn't get any rain. I suspect that they didn't get rain overnight either. So it's varied. I didn't realize that it varied quite that much from a half to 6 inches. Where'd you hear the 6-inch amount, by the way?
You get into the Carlock area up towards Roanoke. There's some heavier amounts in through there. Unfortunately, too, there was some wind and some large damage hail accompanying with some of those large amounts of rain, too.
What are you telling producers as they call in today, if they're in fact calling in? I suspect that most of them are either getting their planters back in shape to go into the field again or already there.
Well, we're sticking to our planning through here, and as a producer, and it's two totally separate issues or strategy as a producer or a trader, but as a producer, we're continuing to scale into it here, feeling this 270, 275 area is a good area to be a seller of a new crop, continue to scale into as we go. Beans, we're going to hold out here, see if we can't have a little bit more of a bounce, but, you know, additional 10, 15 cents an area, I wouldn't be afraid to scale into some bean sales. And you got to just continue to reward the market here this time of year, knowing what the fundamentals we do, because oftentimes we get the spring rally, we get caught in a downdraft into about the middle of June until we get a better handle on weather and acres.
On the Mercantile Exchange, futures in the cattle pits moved a bit higher. That despite the fact that Sunday, Canada confirmed its fifth case of BSE. Of course, that announced earlier in the week last week. Confirmation coming. And through the whole process, it appears that the Mercantile Exchange decided to simply ignore it. What was your take?
Yeah, basically, that's with Ward and the mad cow issue out here over the last several years. It's becoming sort of a non-eventful until somebody actually contracts it and they can trace it back to a certain cow. I think the trade's going to view as a non-factor. It's really frustrating when you look at five cases in Canada and, you know, our 1-2 cases here versus over almost 30 cases in Japan. The thing is, in Japan, too, they're testing a 20-month steer that may have mad cow, and that sort of blows the theory of the older cow to having to be tested to get it. So it's kind of frustrating. But the main thing in the meat sector is there's plenty of meat in cold storage, and until we sort of clean up our inventory here, it's probably going to keep a cap on the whole meat sector.
If you're going to tell producers to watch one item, are they watching the gold and the outside markets or something within?
Well, that's most exciting, and you know, it's very explosive. It's kind of dangerous to enter that market as a trade at this present time. For those who've been hanging on to gold and silver for quite some time, it's great to see this rally here. It gives them a chance to maybe go ahead and unload some here at some higher levels. Probably the biggest trade to watch here in the outside markets is the U.S. dollar. Look for the dollar to weaken in through here and for the currencies to strengthen.
We appreciate you being with us, Kurt.
Very good.
Kurt Kimball of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Kurt joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Monday afternoons.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL AM 580. At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us for a look at the agricultural weather. AM 580's own Mike Sola forecast for tonight across the two-state region calls for mostly clear skies. Lows, he says, will range from 35 in northeastern Indiana to 52 in southwestern Illinois. And tomorrow, Mike says, in southern Illinois, it'll become partly cloudy. Elsewhere, mostly sunny. Highs will range from 55 near Lake Michigan to 76 in the far south. The extended forecast, Tuesday night, becoming mostly cloudy. Some showers, a few thunderstorms arriving from the west. Wednesday, mostly cloudy. Some showers and a few thunderstorms. Thursday, in northern Illinois, mostly cloudy. Scattered showers and a few thunderstorms. And elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy. Friday in central sections, partly sunny. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny. A chance for some scattered showers and thunderstorms. Highs on Wednesday through Friday, mostly in the 60s, a few 70s in the south. And the lows will generally be in the 40s, with some 50s in the deeper parts of the two-state region. Dave Dickey's here now to take a complete look at the agricultural news. I'm Todd Gleason.
In agricultural news, Washington Insider is reporting that U.S. trade officials have spoken with leaders of several farm and commodity groups to seek support for a new proposal at World Trade Organization talks that would go beyond previous U.S. offers. Earlier, the U.S. offered to cut the most trade-distorting domestic agricultural subsidies by 60% and to place a new lower cap on the so-called blue box of domestic spending. USDA Secretary Mike Johanns says on a scale from 1 to 10, he puts his optimism at about a 5 that a deal will be reached next week in Geneva.
I think it's a toss-up. It could go either way. We're going to work hard. We're going to stay optimistic. We believe we can get a successful round. But I always try to deal very straight up and honest with people. I think today it's a coin toss.
U.S. negotiators reportedly are considering an offer that would cut amber box subsidies by 70% to 80%. USDA may be looking for some help in tracking soybeans used in the production of biodiesel. Jerry Bangi, who heads the department's World Agricultural Outlook Board, says USDA may ask the U.S. Commerce Department to provide that information. The Bureau of the Census, which is part of the Commerce Department, already tracks crushings and production of soybean meal and oil. Canada confirmed a case of mad cow disease on Sunday at a farm in British Columbia in a six-year-old cow on a Fraser Valley farm. It's Canada's fifth case of mad cow disease since May of 2003, when the U.S. first closed its border to Canadian beef. But more newsworthy, it is the second animal born after a 1997 ban on cattle feed to test positive for mad cow disease. The latest cow's age raises more questions about the effectiveness of the ban, because the disease is believed to spread only when cattle eat feed containing certain tissues from infected cattle. Greg Dowd is with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
Well, obviously this is not a food safety issue, but having the second animal that seems to be after the feed ban went in place in August of 1997 does seem to suggest that there is a feed ban compliance issue.
Cattle protein was often added to cattle feed to speed growth until Canada and the U.S. banned the practice in 1997. Dowd says problems with the Canadian feed ban could slow USDA rulemaking to reopen the border to older animals at greater risk for BSE.
I think the first thing you have to see is what the situation is coming out of the epidemiologic and traceback of this cow and the feed situation, and then you begin to answer that question.
Animals under 30 months and their meat were allowed back into the U.S. last year. U.S. Agriculture Secretary Mike Johanns says he does not anticipate a change in status in trade between the two countries. The Energy Department is predicting that gas prices will be at least 25 cents more per gallon than last summer's highs, and shortages are already popping up around the country. The Energy Department says gas prices are expected to hit a national average of $2.62 a gallon. The government says some regional shortages are a result of ethanol shortages to replace MTBE. Most oil companies will drop the additive entirely on May 5th. Officials with the American Farm Bureau Federation are saying ethanol is being falsely blamed for gas price spikes. Energy specialist Annie Steckel.
Once again, oil prices are skyrocketing to $70 a barrel, which is up $10 a barrel from this time last year. And what oil companies are doing now as we approach a May deadline of the reformulated oxygenate standard, they're moving away from using the additive MTBE to ethanol. And so that's how ethanol has been associated with the increase in gas prices. But that just isn't the case.
AFBF officials are also saying that the petroleum industry's pricing tactics are contributing to higher gas prices. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Well, up next, the University of Illinois is pushing the science of biofuels. The Land Grant hosted a conference on developing the industry last week. Sustainable bioenergy is not a pipe dream. Ethanol made not from corn, but from other biomass products, maybe switchgrass, possibly miscanthus, seems more likely over the long run to many scientists. It all starts, of course, with what's in the field today, and that's corn, and the way it is currently processed into ethanol. There are still some problems there, as Chris Somerville of Stanford University told the scientists gathered on the University of Illinois campus for the Sustainable Bioenergy Conference.
Well, there are three main things, and I only really spoke about two of them. You know, the one thing is we need to make the most highly productive, most sustainable plants we possibly can. So we need to really minimize the inputs. And during a later talk, when Steve Long talks, he'll talk about how the perennial grasses like miscanthus have very low inputs relative to the annual field crops. So in terms of long-term sustainability and minimizing input costs, Steve is a better person to talk about that. But that's certainly one of the goals.
Steve Long is a University of Illinois scientist working with miscanthus. It is a plant, unlike corn, that has not been developed. By contrast, corn yield has increased eightfold since the 1920s. Biomass yield is a different subject than corn yield, and one weighs the kernel, the other the whole of the plant above ground, and Miscanthus already outproduces corn on that ledger. Still, Stanford Somerville recognizes economics will win the day in the battle for biomass. He thinks the odds are stacked in the favor of switchgrass and Miscanthus. That's because the price of corn has generally been so low that it would be more profitable for a farmer to grow and ship a biomass grass for ethanol production than it would be to grow corn.
If you assume $30 a ton, which is, you know, quite a lot less than what the average price of hay is in the United States, and it's actually less than the price of a ton of coal, so coal is about $35 a ton. If you assume that that's a reasonable price, then right now the economics look favorable for perennial crops such as switchgrass and Miscanthus as opposed to corn.
Chris Somerville of Stanford University spoke to the scientists gathered on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois in mid-April for the Sustainable Bioenergy Focus on the Future of Biofuels and Chemicals conference. For U of I Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us on this Monday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market is Wyatt Muse of the Andersons here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Wyatt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Rainfall welcomed here in Champaign County and the surrounding areas last night and over the weekend?
Well, some rainfall was welcomed, but I think a lot of guys are pretty much ready to get in the field, and we've got our soil moisture to be, and then some. So at this point, I think guys are kind of hoping that the rain's going to hold off and are able to get in the field.
And what are you hearing about planting progress here in this part of the state?
Well, there are a few planters rolling today, not in Champaign County, but I talked to a producer around Springfield and said they didn't get nearly the rain that we had around here. There are several that went last week, but for the most part, I think a lot of guys are looking to start maybe later this week. But I've also seen a forecast where they're calling for some rain midweek, so we may be pushed back to the weekend or possibly next week.
And what are you hearing about the cash grain market?
Basis has been strengthening about a penny a week, but today the processors faded a penny, and part of that may be due to increase in prices. Corn was up for a good part of the day and then kind of sold off towards the end, and also with guys being out of the field, especially if they have help around, are wanting to keep grain moving. So processors faded a penny. We're holding strong here, so...
Farmers have been notorious holders of soybeans. That continue to be the case?
Yeah, we saw a little bit of selling today. I mean, we gained about 10 cents last week, and beans closed up 9 today, so pretty good opportunity to get some beans sold after they've really dropped since that crop report came out.
When you talk to Greg and the rest of the crew there at the Andersons, what's the discussion about this marketplace? It seems to be that most people can't quite figure out exactly why the beans have maintained the price that they have, and that corn is just marking time to some extent.
Yeah, a lot of the corn is based on time right now, and you know, if we keep getting pushed back on planting, I think corn could continue to, you know, see some strength in price. But as far as the beans go, a lot of outside markets are really pushing this right now. I mean, as I'm sure you know, gold and silver are, you know, 25-year highs, oil's at the very high end of the range also, and these hedge funds are really pushing things up. Fundamentally, the soybeans are probably fairly priced or possibly even overpriced still, and we believe that it'll continue to erode away given that we have a normal crop this year.
Wyatt, what are the bids for the day there at the Andersons?
Cash corn, 228. Fall delivery, 245. Cash soybeans, 565. And fall delivery, 580.
We appreciate you being with us.
Yep, thank you, Todd.
Wyatt Muse is with the Andersons here in Champaign County. Joins us on the Closing Mark Report on Monday afternoons. In about 2 minutes, I'll talk with the folks at the Chicago office of Chesapeake Energy about the agricultural weather. Your regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. The attorney for former Illinois Governor George Ryan says he doesn't think the government proved its case beyond a reasonable doubt. Dan Webb says he'll immediately begin filing post-trial motions to get the guilty verdict against Ryan overturned. Ryan showed no emotions as he and co-defendant Larry Warner were pronounced guilty today of all counts in their racketeering and fraud trial in Chicago. Afterwards, Ryan remained stoic as he commented briefly to reporters.
I believe this decision today is not in accordance with the kind of public service that I've provided to the people of Illinois over 40 years. And needless to say, I am disappointed in the outcome. But I feel confident in our appeal, and there will be an appeal.
U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald says he's gratified by the guilty verdicts. Fitzgerald describes Ryan's actions as a, quote, low watermark of public service. The top federal prosecutor in Chicago called the charges against Ryan serious, from accepting free vacations from a friend and lobbyist to lying to the FBI about it. Ryan was convicted of racketeering conspiracy, mail fraud, obstructing the Internal Revenue Service, tax fraud, and lying to FBI agents. University of Illinois political scientist Robert Rich says the guilty verdicts against Ryan and Warner are just the latest in a string of cases across the country that contribute to a bigger call for ethics reform.
I think that the U.S. Attorney's investigation here and now the jury deliberations and conviction sends an important message not only in Illinois but nationally about the growing importance of ethics and the growing intolerance of corruption in government.
But Rich doesn't think either political party on the state or federal level can gain anything from the
agricultural
Ryan case. He says he wasn't surprised by the verdicts because of the strong case U.S. Attorney Dan Webb put forward. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. This is WILL AM 580. It's your agricultural information advantage. Meteorologist Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, on the line now to tell us about those weekend storms and what we can expect from the rainy weather here in the Midwest this week. Hi, how are you doing this afternoon, Mark?
I'm doing great, Todd.
A lot of rain in a good portion of the Midwest, but it was a bit hit and miss sometimes, I suppose, across the state of Illinois.
Yeah, the main action here over the weekend was across the northern and central portions of the state, with kind of the acreage south of I-80 down to around the Decatur-Champaign area seeing, or at least taking, the brunt of the storm activity. But yeah, if you were underneath one of those storms, certainly you got a good deluge there, one, two, even some localized heavier amounts there. But outside of those localized areas, very little up to maybe around a half an inch or so.
But no fear, there's more rain on the way?
Well, we are going to see more rain on the way here this week. We do have to wait here until we get to the Thursday time frame. A storm system will be coming out of the plains. Actually, a little bit of rain kicks in on Wednesday, and then that'll continue on into Thursday. Some minor shower activity continuing on to Friday. But that is really the rain activity this week. And once again, it's going to be a kind of a scattered type of environment as far as rain development is concerned. Your activity Wednesday, Thursdays, there's some scattered thunderstorm, but that'll give way to light shower activity. But then it looks like beyond that, actually mostly dry weather over the weekend and then throughout much of next week. So a little bit more rain coming up, but with next week's drier conditions, that should allow any at least minor delays in planting taking place in those areas that got hit by rain to improve with the drier conditions next week.
Across the whole of the Midwest, planting conditions are keeping tractors in or out of the field at this point?
Well, overall, they should keep tractors there generally out in the fields there. As far as with corn planting primarily taking place at this time across the central and southern areas, you've had some heavier or more widespread heavier rains across the northern portion of the Midwest in places such as southern Minnesota, far northern Iowa. But those areas typically don't plant corn, not for another couple of weeks or so. And overall here, we don't feel that there's really any pattern here that would be conducive for any kind of significant planting delays, really, on the horizon.
And then check in with the Great Plains and the wheat for me?
Yeah, well, the big news across the hard red winter wheat belt is that rainfall prospects will be improving as we go through this week, starting on Thursday and Friday. As the region begins to turn unsettled, and that will continue into next week. Doesn't look like any huge and inundating rains, but enough, which is about half of the belt or so, especially western Kansas, receiving amounts in the range of about a quarter of an inch to an inch or so, and that will ease the stress that's taking place right now due to the very hot, very dry conditions across that area.
We appreciate you being with us, Mark.
Thank you very much, Todd.
Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Somebody from that office joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Monday afternoon when business is open in Chicago. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to join us tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our pre-opening market report, and that you can hear today's futures analysis, the cash grain reports, the weather right there on our website. Just go to WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.